Please go ahead. The call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On to today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 14th of June. We have Rafik Damak, Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Tijani Benjema, Alex Gakuru, John Rahman Khan, Sentra Suknanan, Eric Brunner Williams, Olivier Crépin Leblanc, Evan Leibovich, Avery Doria, Steve Crocker, Sébastien Bachelet, Bertrand Blachapelle, Andrew Mack, Dave Kisundwayel, Alan Greenberg, Elaine Pries. From staff, we have Kurt Pritz, Carla Valente, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And apologies noted today from Boudouin Chambet and Katim Ture. If I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. And Carlos Aguirre also sends his apology. Thank you. Over to you, Carlton.
Thank you so much, Gisela. Good. Hello, everyone. Glad to see you all on this call. We have the agenda up on the bottom left-hand corner of the Adobe screen. For those of you who are not on the Adobe, just let me tell you how we are proposing to do. We are proposing to have an introduction which essentially just highlights the second Jazz Milestone report to give a short history and its development and so on, and that is going to be handled by my colleague Evan Leibovich. And then we're going to take the questions from the GACN board and comments for about 30 to 40 minutes or so. And then in the final few minutes, we might ask a question to clarify what our posture will be in Singapore. For those of you who still need to put their SOIs or DOIs together, please ensure that you have them sent through to the respective parties. And I would imagine that there is no objection to this agenda. Well, there being no objection, might I ask Evan to give a little background to the second Jazz Milestone report before we get into the meat of the matter. Evan, you're up, sir. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Carlton, and welcome to everybody, especially those that have not been intensively involved in our twice-a-week meetings. Thank you again for coming. I'll keep my own comments brief because the intention for this is to get as much feedback as possible as we can from the folks that aren't usually in on these calls. Essentially, as has been stated, in the second milestone report, the impetus for what we're doing comes from a collaborative work between ALAC and GNSO to try and deal with the requests for how do we make the GTLD process more accessible in economies that might not be able to afford the standard fees and consider that an obstacle to participation. We've taken a number of approaches. One thing that came out very early on was to try and have a process that did not have applicants competing with each other to demonstrate who was most needy, but to in fact have a regime that would allow for anyone that met a certain criteria to be able to receive the same level of support. And so based on that, we proceeded to come up with a series of proposals and ideas that have been done at a reasonably high level in the second milestone report. It is admittedly full of rough edges and in many cases a bad lack of detail. It's our intent to flesh this out as we move forward with it. But one of the things that we need to do right now is sort of catch our breath, having made this milestone report, find out what the rest of the community thinks about it. It's up for public comment. We're having this meeting to solicit comments from board members and GAC members, And so this is our intent to move forward in this manner. And I'll leave it at that because I really don't want to take more of this conversation than I need to.
Thank you, Evan. Would any other member want to add anything to what Evan has said here? Is there anything you think he's left out that might be useful for the discussion to come? Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl is up on the board. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Carlton. Cheryl Langdon for the transcript record. Not so much anything Evan has left out, because I don't think he has, but I just wondered whether Olivier might want to outline some of the particular points that Kateem kindly sent us in the email he recently forwarded regarding tonight's call and his apologies, specifically the desire to have firm time slots and project planning for the ending of the work of
the work group,
GIS.
Yes.
I'm assuming here that might be a question that would be of interest to all of the board, not just to Kateem. But it would probably be worthwhile to have it read to the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. I think that's a good idea. Is Olivier on? Olivier, would you like to follow up on Cheryl's recommendation?
I am here, but I'm trying to locate the specific document. If you give me, if you go on, and then I'll come back to you on that.
Okay. For those who might not get the Kateem sent a note to the list, and it includes some specific things. We thought probably it would be best. Thanks to Cheryl. You have it? Are you ready now?
I'm not, I'm afraid. No, I can't find it. Give me a little while. Continue, and then I'll put my hand up when I'm ready. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So, we have Evan's outline of the second milestone report and the issues. Just wait for a little bit to hear something from a board member who has written in some specific things of interest, and we'll bring those into the discussion later on. We are now open to questions, comments from board or GAC members on this call. Anyone would like to start off? Just raise your hand or give a hail, and you have the board.
Hi, this is Bertrand. If there's no particular other comment, one of the things that I'm, to make a general remark, one of the things that I'm a little bit worried at that stage is that we have potentially three separate tracks that are taking place on this important issue of the applicant support. There's the JAS working group proposals. You've seen that the GAC has included in its last submission to the board specific suggestions regarding this topic. And in internal discussions within the board, there have been some ideas that have been floated that I know that the JAS has heard of or anticipated or taken into account regarding the setting up of an appropriate fund with possible seed funding. My concern is that we're nearing the meeting in Singapore, and my preoccupation is to see how those three threads can be brought together, and in particular how the discussion in Singapore can take place. There is a discussion going on at the moment regarding the exact format of the interaction between the GAC and the board on that topic. There will necessarily be some element of discussion on the applicant support between the GAC and the board on the Sunday. And I understand that there will be an additional discussion that will be broader and involving also the rest of the community during the week. One of the things that is pending, and this is something that has been discussed with Heather Dryden from the GAC, is the possibility for the members of the JAS to basically make a presentation or report on Saturday, I think, when the GAC has a preparatory meeting where they might be addressing this topic. So I just wanted to raise this almost as a procedural matter, because the way we are going to address this this topic in Singapore will be important to chart the course for the rest. I don't know if it will be possible to find a definitive solution, but the goal, at least on the board side, is to foster as much interaction on this topic during Singapore so that there is a clear visibility on the path forward after Singapore to make sure that there's something that is available for the program. So that was the general outline. How does the JAS consider this element of the three parallel tracks, and how they can be brought together in Singapore?
Thank you, Bertrand. If you've noticed that this is a question on the agenda for us, there's a JAS session planned in Singapore and for Thursday between 11 and 12:30, and it's going to be an open public meeting. I hear you that we might wish to have further conversations with the GAC and board. That's the stuff of the second piece of the agenda, to see whether or not we can have an approach to that. But others may have something to say. Sebastian is on the board. Sebastian, you're up.
Thank you. First, thank you for organizing this this meeting open to board members, even if I try to participate as much as possible to follow this working group. I think it's important. I regret that it's not we don't have the same amount of people from the GAC, and it's a little bit of concern, because we know that it's a request from the GAC to do something on this matter, and I would have thought that they could support the work done by this working group and even participate. The second point is that I think that Bertrand revealed some secrets that I would like very much that it have been no so secret the last 2 weeks. I tried to have an official statement on that from the board, and I didn't succeed. It's not included in the last version of the guidebook, and I will take again, even if it was not supposed to be done like that. The discussion we have within the board is to see how we can put some money. The discussion is to know if this money is seed money, if it's money to come with other money coming from other organizations, or how it's organized. But I think it's a very important point, and it's why I wanted to have that on the table, because I have the impression that the group spend a lot of time in trying to find how the $185,000 was set up. But in fact, what is much more important is to know how we will be able to find money, and then to spend this money for good reason. And I hope that it will be clear after Singapore that what is more important is to so the process to give money, and of course to gather, but hopefully with some I can help, it will be easier, and then to deliver to the needy applicants. And I must say that this group, it's it's very important, and it's why I am a little bit also disappointed with the fact that you will have three different places to say something to some people. I would have very much appreciated to have something at the beginning of the work and prior to the adoption of the guidebook done by this group and take into account by the community and by the group. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Just a quick response, we would have loved to be in the position that you say to be up front, but, you play the hand you got. So we're playing the hand we have. Evan, you're next, sir.
Hi, and thanks. This is Evan. I just wanted to respond briefly to what Bertrand had said, and forgive me, but it's almost like answering a question with a question, which is basically, at least from my point of view, how can we help? To a certain extent, the jazz group has been focused on what it is trying to do. The fact that there have been parallel processes that have been working on this has been sort of out of our scope and beyond our control. I don't think that there's anybody in the group that wouldn't welcome the chance to try and bring something forward in a manner that would be usable by the board, the GAC, and the community. And at least from my personal point of view, my response is, okay, how can we help? It's been very gratifying to see the jazz mentioned explicitly multiple times in the most recent GAC statement on the TLD process, and their support is great. In fact, it appears in some ways that we've almost the jazz group itself seems to have achieved a bit of a middle ground between what the GAC has asked for and the status quo. So we're definitely in, I think, a very good position to be able to work on something that will be acceptable all around. So I guess my question back to the board is, if there are indeed these multiple tracks that are causing both confusion and a difficulty keeping turning this into a single cohesive policy, what can we do to help?
Thank you, Evan. Before I go to Olivier, Bertrand, would you wish to respond directly now?
Yeah, well, I can. Thanks. I see the point. My position has always been in the past, and it still is, that any topic of that sort needs to have a full cross-community interaction. So the key challenge is to find in a very, very, very loaded agenda this week when this real community interaction can emerge. The first element is if it can be mastered, and maybe that's a matter that Olivier, as the chair of ALAC, or rather, sorry, the chair of the jazz, should maybe contact Heather to see whether there is a possibility to make such a presentation and interaction with the GAC, in which case I have raised the point in previous discussions in the board that it would be possible, I hope, for some board members who are interested to attend such a presentation. So if we could do a first thing on Saturday, provided that the GAC is willing to do that, it would certainly be a first opportunity to try to do something in a relatively cohesive manner. The second element is how this will be discussed during the week. And again, I don't have the agenda clearly in mind, but I think that there is something as late as Thursday that must be put somewhere on the agenda. I have to verify, but that's my recollection. The point I want to highlight on the substance, though, is that there are two elements of potential tensions that I've identified from what I understand the jazz is proposing and what the other thinking are taking into account. I understand the GAC, for instance,
will not be comfortable with the recommendation of the JAS group that support cannot be made to applications that would go to governments or made by governments. I think they have a concern about, and it's just to highlight it and forward it, a concern about potential applications that would be made by low-level government entities like municipalities or regions or places in developing countries. And this is likely to be a topic that will be of concern. The second element of concern is, of course, the applicant support program is not only about money, but one of the key differences at the moment that I understand is the predictability of the amount that is likely to be made, and what Evan was mentioning regarding the notion that it shouldn't bring potential applicants in competition with one another. So the approach of setting up a fund is likely to bring a limited envelope rather than establishing objective criteria, which are difficult to predict in terms of implementation. So these, on the substance, are the two elements that I see as having to be addressed, and I don't know how to solve them, but I just wanted to highlight them for the sake of clarity.
Thank you, Bertrand. But Cheryl has actually made a response on the Adobe room, and the response is very much, if you look at the report, the second milestone report, we actually highlighted the fact that there is this issue that needs to be addressed, and with whether or not municipalities and government entities could be eligible for support. So, and we are looking to the JAS to help us to work that through. So we are very much aware of that one. And as I said, the next thing we have on the agenda is trying to figure out how we might get a GAC board closed meeting on the agenda in Singapore. We're still trying to figure that out. Anyway, let's move on. Olivier, you're up next, sir.
Thank you very much, Carlton. Olivier, for the record. I didn't want to break the flow of the conversation, and just hearing Bertrand now suggesting a session with the GAC on Saturday, I quickly had a look at the schedules of at-large arrivals in Singapore, and unfortunately many will not be present, although some of the core team will be there. I'm not sure with regards to some of the GNSO members, because I understand that they have a full day of work, a full session, so I don't know whether they can attend. But in any case, the session that the ALAC will have with the GAC, which I believe is on Sunday, is a session which will have an element discussing the JAS, the JAS. I'm not sure whether there is any anyone from the GAC that has joined this this call. Can Gisela perhaps, or Carla, tell us whether anyone has joined since the start?
Don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
There's not. Okay. It's a shame, but certainly we will be discussing the JAS with the GAC, and if we could arrange an advanced session, then I'm all for it. Certainly if Carlton and Rafiq, who are the work group's chairs, think that this is something that would help, then I'm all for emailing Heather and Alice and finding out if there's a time when we could meet, perhaps even a smaller group to meet to prepare the work for the next day, which will be the wider session. Now, with regards to the discussion we had earlier, and I'm sorry I didn't have the email from Katim in front of me at the time, I couldn't find it. I have now found it, and I thought I would read a couple of parts from his email, because he asks a couple of questions, a couple of issues which he wanted to be discussed on the call. First, he apologizes. He's had a last-minute emergency to attend, so he's not able to be here today. But the two main questions which he has brought forward, and I'll read them verbatim. The first one being, one issue I would like you to discuss on the call is the timeline for the finalization of the JAS work group reports. While I agree that this will help to insist that the AG mentioned that needy applicants should seek support through the process based on the JAS work group report, I think it will help to provide a timeline for the finalization of your report. I'm not sure whether the work group has has decided this yet, but this is one of the questions. The other segment that he mentions there is something which he has been troubled with. He says, I'm also troubled by the fact that the GNSO has been rather slow in acting on the Jazz Work Group report. I fear such a situation might well be construed by many as an effort by the GNSO to scuttle the entire process of seeking ways and means to provide support to needy new GTLD applicants. One important product of such a perception would be that developing countries will feel that ICANN is not sincere when it says, as the board did in Nairobi last year, that it is interested in launching an inclusive new GTLD program. I need not say that such a perception will also harm ICANN's efforts to strengthen relations with developing countries and get them on our side on the many issues we'd like to have their support. So for this reason, I would like to hear what suggestions you have to the board to ensure that progress cannot be hijacked by inaction by any party. So these are the two questions from Kitty. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Eric is on the board and Rafiq. Eric, you have the board, sir.
Thank you, Carlton, for the transcript. This is Eric Werner-Williams. I placed my comment on the chat room, and I'll read it. I think the concern with government, this is responding to the first of Bertrand's 2 points regarding the concerns of the GAC. I think the concern with government in the Jazz Working Group was the possibility that national governments, which in most cases we assume have resources significantly in excess of the current published fee and associated costs, might be considered. And I don't recall our explicitly considering public administrations of urban areas in developing economies as entities to exclude from consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. And if you notice, there was a post from Evan which also addressed that issue. We have not made that suggestion at all. It's something still open. Rafiq, you're up next, sir.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. I just wanted to go back to the Katim email. I just want to let people know that Stefan, as the chair of GNSO, replied to that, because there is that part about GNSO being slow, and I think Stefan sent a clarification about that. So it's just for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Rafiq. Olivier, you're back up.
Thank you very much, Carlton. Olivier, for the record, may I ask Rafiq if it is possible for him to share that reply, because I certainly have not been copied on this.
Yeah, no, most of us haven't.
Oh, I've seen it. Can I cut it and put it in the chat room?
Well, I think it would be appropriate for the record.
Very well. I will do just that if you give me...
And it would be appropriate if you read it as well, if it's not too long, because that would go on the transcript.
It is quite long, but I think it's appropriate.
Okay, thank you, Carl.
And I will ask Rafiq to take the chair from here.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. Just to clarify, you want me to read the Stefan email now?
Yes.
Okay, just let me find it quickly. Okay. So it's saying, hello, Kasim. This is a personal reaction to your message. I am frankly aghast that the board member will send a message indicating that one of ICANN's SOA has been slow in acting on a report in the way you portray the GNSO as having acted with regards to the Jazz Milestone report. At best, this shows a lack of understanding of basic process that our SOA is committed to following by its own bylaws and by the ICANN bylaws. Immediately after the Jazz had forwarded its report to us, it was considered by the GNSO Council at its next meeting. During that meeting, one of the GENESO groups requested the motion be deferred for one meeting. We have a long-standing custom of entertaining such requests. Hence, the GENESO considered the motion again at its June 9 meeting. Well, I am happy to say that the motion requesting, among other things, that the report be put out for public comment as soon as possible was approved unanimously by the Council. Regardless of your personal interest, I would think that one of your duties as a board member is to uphold the organization bylaws, to respect its SO, and to uphold the process in which they work. Applying in your message that the GENESO is attempting to scuttle the entire process of seeking ways to provide support to needy new GTLD applicants is not and true as our anonymous vote shows. It's also serious disregard of the way I can in its SO work. ICANN's bottom-up process is not pick and choose just because on the issue that you care strongly about, you feel that things are not moving fast enough. This does not justify false allegation of possible attempts by one SO to scatter the process. As your message was sent in the context of the call with the board, the GAG staff, and the LAC, I consider it very public, hence it could also be construed as an attempt to discredit the hard work being done by the community of volunteers that the GENESO represents. You request suggestion to the board to ensure that progress cannot be hijacked by inaction by any parties, and this is clearly aimed at the GENESO in this case. I would offer one. Don't hijack ICANN core process of working through its SO and ACs towards the board. I take your message to be breach of that process and would personally appreciate the answers from you that I'm mistaken and that's not what you intend. In order to initiate possible discussion on this at both council and board level, I am copying the GENESO council, Peter as chairman of the board, and the two GENESO elected board members for their possible comments. Thanks. Okay, I'm sorry that it take long time, but I think we should back again to getting some questions. Just I'm seeing the chat discussion. I understand that people want clarification, but I don't think that we should focus too much on this stuff and the protest, as you said, away from the from GENESO Council. I would be happy if we can get more questions and feedback from the board members present in the call. And also, because we have time. Sorry, there is an echo. Okay. Sorry, operator, can you check this? I will mute myself. Okay, Olivier, we have Olivier and Eric on the queue. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Rafik. Olivier, for the record. Now, turning back to Katim's questions, the first one being the timeline, I wondered whether anyone from the Jazz Group would be able to explain what the intended timeline is going to be, if that has been discussed or if this has been set, or are there any suggestions for this?
Okay. Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you. I wasn't sure that Olivier's He asked a question, actually, and I'm not personally prepared to answer it because it was broken up in the middle. I don't actually know what his question was. I wanted to speak about something different, going back to Bertrand's point, so I'll wait for a moment.
Should I repeat my question?
Please do.
The question, Olivia here again, the question being the timeline of the Jazz Working Group for its final report, or where do we go from here, hopefully? Suggestion. Has this been discussed by the working group? Is this on the cards?
Well, this is Eric speaking. If I could make a response. There was a suggestion in the GNSO text I recently saw, which indicated that the Jazz would wrap up after public comment, and my concern with that is that many ICANN reports have very little substantive comment, and I think that we're actually not yet done, and we still have substantial work to do. So I don't think we're at the end of our process, but that's my personal view, and I'll pause there and wait until others speak.
Okay, Olivia, I can reply to that. That's my thinking. My understanding is that the GNSO is asking that we have a final report. So it doesn't mean, I think, that we need, just after finishing from the public review, to send our report, but we should finish. We should have a final report for after that. Eric, do you want to comment again, or it's your hand?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I wanted to actually go back to a substantive issue that was raised by Bertrand. He pointed out that there was a tension between on the issue of funding. Now, there's information that we're not fully aware of, we being the Jazz Working Group, regarding the internal discussion within the board about the fee level or sources of funds in order to assist applicants. Nevertheless, there's the suggestion in Bertrand's comments that there is a tension between funding a limited envelope or a limited amount of money to allocate and the development of objective criteria for the determination of applicants in need, and presumably also for the level of support to applicants if it is not in fact uniform. I'd like to go back to that particular issue to see if there's anything that we can learn from the board on that. Again, to follow up on Evan's comment of how can we help, this is an area which I don't think we've explored very much. Thank you.
This is
just a rapid feedback. It is not. I don't speak on behalf of the whole board because it's still under discussion. But this is something that I have also shared on a personal basis with a few of the people who were interested in that topic. There are fundamentally two approaches. They're not completely opposite. But the desire to find a set of objective criteria is very good, and it has the purpose of trying to avoid that people are competing one against the other. At the same time, it is relatively difficult, from what I understand in the document, to find something that would actually amount to a completely separate evaluation process, and I understand that there is a desire from members of the board to have an element of predictability in this, and also a desire to help kickstart something rather than the risk of having a discussion that belabors so long that it requires 20 validations here and there, and we end up having something that cannot be put in place for the actual launch of the next round. So this is why the need to have the different actors together in Singapore is so important in my view. The question is, how do the people in the jazz group feel about the notion of the establishment of a potential fund that would potentially initially start with a limited amount that would be provided by ICANN, but could be completed by other actors, so that the envelope is not limited potentially. So that's the first question. And the second question is, how much do the people in the jazz group, what is your sense of the likelihood and the number of actors who might actually request or apply for such help? Because the debate becomes somewhat moot if, in reality, the amounts that would be available, and I agree with Avery, who said on the IW Connect, that it is not only about money, and I think Ivan said that as well, but the problem is much less difficult if the anticipated amount of people who are likely to be applying is relatively limited, because then the question of the amount and the competition is not so much at stake. Does anybody have an impression or a feeling about potential candidates that have even raised their hands or expressed interest in that? As far as I'm concerned, I've not heard of any, but it's very difficult to judge or anticipate the amount of potential need. And it's maybe an important element to take into account. So these are the two elements. What's the feeling about the idea of setting up some sort of fund? We've seen money from ICANN. And second, what is the anticipated demand for that kind of help?
Thanks, Bertrand. I think many questions. Eric, you want to comment, or for your hand?
Thank you. I understand that there is a tension between, or the possibility of having a additional or separate evaluation for applicants is presents a design problem that the staff is not considered in the current evaluation model. So I appreciate the point from the board that is something of an open-ended possibility of the qualifications for support being somehow dependent upon a process that does not yet exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you very much for that point of information, Bertrand. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. We have Shirin.
Thank you, Rafik. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. I put my hand up at an earlier point, but I'll take the opportunity to give some very preliminary responses from a purely personal point of view to Bertrand's last couple of issues raised. The first one is to respond to the option and opportunity for a bucket of money to be created. It is something that prior to the first judge's milestone report that was discussed, some sort of bursary or granting type scheme has never been seen as a solution by jazz, but simply a possibility as one of a set of tools that would be appropriate to offer applicant supports. It's a whole lot more than just money that would be required, and in fact reduction of fees is a correlational thing there that we could probably look at there as well, as is stage payment and repayment schemes. So there are a number of ways that JAS has put forward so far to skin that cat, which what might be complemented by a bucket of funds, but would not be limited to a support being based on those funds. We certainly did discuss early on the opportunities to have third-party input into such a scheme and various forms of windfall activities, such as from auctions, contributing to it. So it's certainly not something that we haven't thought of, and we would, I'm fairly confident in saying be interested in discussing the logistics and issues further. To the second point as to whether or not we've looked into our crystal ball to see what the land rush on this might be, no, we haven't, nor is it our mandate to do so. The JAS Working Group is very particularly tasked out of the Resolution 20 out of the Nairobi meeting from the board to look at mechanisms and methodologies and qualifications and criteria about applicant support, not do market research on the possibility of how many in the new GTLD process may or may not need it. If we can take any form of temperature from the interest that we've seen from at least representatives in the GAC and in the at-large community who are associated with developing and emerging economies, we would expect that there would be some interest. How big, how long, how wide and how deep that will be is yet to be determined, and probably pivotal on that determination will be what is on offer, be it a reduction of fees, a payments, prepayments, post-payments, an extension of payment scheme, back-end support, in-kind support, or some combination of all of the above. Back to the point that I wanted to respond to, and that was the question on timing. I think in terms of the time course, whilst the public comment period that is currently on is specific to the JIS milestone report number 2, and that was focused, we might need to remind everybody, other than those in the JIS work group, of course, particularly on the criteria and matters around the criteria that the board, GAC and others particularly requested us to focus on out of the San Francisco meeting. There are a couple of other matters which still require considerable but not necessarily long periods of time for the work to be completed that are part of the chartering of the JIS work group, and both during the public comment period on the milestone number 2 and in between now and the next ICANN face-to-face meeting, I would predict that we should be seeing a firm and finalisation date. What we might be able to do is see whether the chairs of the JIS work group would consider at their face-to-face meeting during Singapore and immediately after it, spending some agenda time specifically on a firm set of dates and timelines so that the question raised by Kateem and other board members can be answered definitively. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirin. Okay, I think we have tasks to do for the co-chair. We have Evan, then Andrew, and then Avery. Evan, please go ahead.
Hi there. I wanted to talk briefly to the issue that's been mentioned in a couple of times about timelines, and specifically to try and get to, you know, what is the, what's the process and so on. One of the things that we were hoping to do, and in part this call is a part of that, is to try and make sure that there's buy-in of the ideas that we're putting forward, at least on a high level, before we start digging down and coming up with an awful lot of implementation detail. So what we're trying to do, at least in my participation in the group that was drafting the milestone report as we were doing it, because of the timelines, because we were trying to get out a document in time for the board meeting in Istanbul, we were trying to make sure that at least we captured all of the high-level assumptions and intentions of what the JAS group was trying to do, and to get feedback at least on a high level so that we didn't start doing implementation of things that would be later found to be either rejected or highly modified. So what has been started already is that the same milestone report, too, that you have in front of you is undergoing what we're calling a red line process, and that is that the group is going through the document bit by bit and fleshing out those parts that need extra detail, that need clarification, that are going to be subject to that devil in the details kind of work that is now going to be necessary. But we were hoping, before getting too deep and too far down that road, to get the feedback to make sure that at least our assumptions and thoughts and directions at this point were in the right direction. before we start getting into the detail and the clarification and smoothing the rough edges, I'll speak for myself in saying that we wanted to get some feedback and just making sure that we were in sync with what the community wanted before we started doing the real drill down. And it's my hope as we start getting into the real drill down that we'll be able to have perhaps a little bit more support from policy staff once we get into the detailed implementation of this kind of thing, which is probably not the core strength of the group in getting into the little sort of legalese final details of things. And I'm hoping that will happen. We haven't asked for it yet because, frankly, I don't think we were ready. But at a certain point, once we get community buy-in for our assumptions and our intentions at the high level, we can start to move forward on the details. So in terms of timeline, yes, we have to put a stake in the ground and say, okay, when are we coming out with the final report? The reason why that's been so hard to come by at this point is we've been desperately trying to get the kind of feedback that we need to make sure that we're going in the right direction at a detailed level. And I'm hoping we will, between this call and what we get in Singapore, I'm hoping that will be sufficient. At that point, we can probably make some firm timelines about final reports.
Thank you, Ivan. We have just 5 minutes left in this call. Maybe we can extend for a few minutes. We still have a third item, which was about more if we can have meetings during Singapore ICANN meeting. But I think that was raised already by Bertrand. And then it's more action from our side, and I think with Olivier. So we have in the queue Andrew and then Avery. Andrew, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Rafiq. Andrew Beck for the transcript. I'm going to comment on basically the same three issues, and I'm going to try really hard not to repeat the good things that Evan and others have said. I agree about the timeline. There are a number of issues that we've been working on where they really do depend on going into more of the detail really does depend on some of the feedback that we need to get from the community. And just looking at some of the work that one of the working teams that I've been part of on looking at the support for underserved languages and scripts, it's the kind of thing that we really do want to get some feedback from the broader community about the principles before we go into too much more detail. So we will be appreciative about that. Once we get that, I think that we can move pretty expeditiously. The second thing is in terms of the funding issue. I think that I agree very much with Cheryl and Aubrey and others who say that this is an either-or kind of situation. In fact, there may be three or four different kinds of support. We've talked about the possibility of having support from a fund that would be seeded by ICANN. We talked about the possibility of support from auction revenues. There is also, obviously, price and fee support, and then there's kind of in-kind support. And all of those, from my perspective, make the most sense from the people trying to establish a really, truly sustainable program. We really want to blend those different kinds of support. I think it's going to make this much more lasting and keep us to the principle that I think everyone in the working group holds very dear, which is that we don't want needy applicants to be competing one against another. That sends the wrong message, in my opinion. And then the last thing is about the number of actors. When we were speaking as early as the Brussels meeting, we had a number of people, I can think of at least two from the Africa region, that expressed their interest. We know that there's some demand out there, but we've also received a response from, at least I have, from a couple of people who said, well, it really does depend. It depends on how difficult the process is. It depends on how long it's going to be. It depends on whether or not we're eligible. So I think it is a bit of a chicken egg situation. We do know that there's some we understand the desire for predictability, but from my perspective, it's going to be hard to get a lot of predictability until we get a little bit closer to the finish line in terms of what the final applicant process is going to look like. Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew. Avery?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Be quick. I won't go through the things I agree with others on. There were two issues that I don't think got discussed a lot. One was, as part of the GNSO motion and as part of this effort, there was also sort of a request, stronger at one point than another, that staff begin looking at what it would take to instantiate or deploy several of the things that this group has started talking about. So one of the questions that had been brought up is, you know, is there a problem with parallel process? What would it take to do this? What would it take to have a separate evaluation that fits into that? And I think that's one of the steps that needs to be taken. Staff, in designing the processes, needs to work with the jazz group in terms of kind of like what happened in the whole GTLD process. There was a back and forth, oh, if we do that, then we have this logistical problem. How do we work that? And that process has not started yet. And it was a very important part of the GTLD process. The other one is I want to take issue with the number, the estimate. I think what we should be looking at is not how many applicants do we have knocking at the door, but how much do we want to reach out to developing economies to show them there's something they can do here and to help them to do it. So in a sense, what I think we need to be looking at is what is our goal in terms of that outreach. We have a goal of 500, let's say, or a projection of 500 possible applicants. Would it, for example, be unreasonable to say that 10% of them at least should be jazz applicants, or is it 20%? And then having a goal like that sort of say how with judicious use of fee reductions and very serious consideration to fee reductions that really hasn't happened yet outside the jazz. It's sort of always agreed with, oh, no. We can't do that because of the GNSO mandate that the application process has to pay for itself. But, of course, the definition of application process is very variable. So I think that instead of saying how many people do we expect at the door with their cups, what we're saying is how much of an outreach do we, as ICANN, want to make sure that we have treated this issue fairly in developing economies. Thanks.
Thank you, Avni. Okay, we have Alan in the queue. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted to quickly support what Avery just said and to reiterate what has been implied, but I don't think said quite clearly regarding us guessing at the number of applicants who might fit this model. ICANN has proven unable to guess the total number of applicants for this entire process, and the estimates range from a small number to absolutely huge numbers. Therefore, I don't think it's reasonable to expect us to be able to estimate what percentage of the highly variable number is going to qualify for extra support, and then try to get an absolute number out of that. The whole process just has too many variables in it. I think if indeed there's a pile of money set aside for this, then clearly if there are more people, you know, who qualify, then maybe the amount each can get may go down. That's the reality of simple finances. But I don't think there's any way we can come up with absolute numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Bertrand, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to chime in briefly and on a purely personal basis to feed the discussion. I have no objection at all, quite on the contrary, with Avery's approach. The reason why I was asking was not at all to put any pressure or to ask the jazz to make an evaluation, and I fully agree with Alan saying given the imprecision in the amount of applications that are likely to come in the normal process, it is extremely hard to know or anticipate how many could come in the specific support program. What I just wanted to know if in the course of your work you just felt a particular interest or an identification of specific actors. As a matter of fact, I think, and again I'm speaking personally, that Avery's approach of something that would be a little bit more proactive makes some sense. and it actually could even be useful to do some kind of back of the envelope calculation. On some of the points that have been raised, I want to clarify something. The question about the fee reduction, in the end, amounts to a reduced amount that comes into the ICANN budget for the new GTLDs in terms of covering the overall expenses. And I agree with Avery that it's been done in a way that has many potential fluctuations. The thing is, the bottom line is whether it is a fee reduction on criteria or whether it is a priori evaluation of funds that are dedicated into a specific vehicle, the end result is the same, because whether ICANN gets in its budget less fees or whether it puts out in a fund a certain amount and gets it back when the applicant is supported, it amounts to a reduction in the overall budget. And so it's a matter of a certain number of persons when we try to do a back-of-the-envelope mechanism. So fundamentally, the question, and I want to just raise that because it is not so much a focus on fee reduction or a fund. The end result is more or less the same. The key question is how proactive this is, and in particular, how much the support of applicants is likely to go on a financial basis during the application moment or in-kind support during the application preparation, for instance, or after the application is actually accepted in the ongoing operations. I could very well imagine that entities not necessarily linked to ICANN put in place a certain number of mechanisms to help applicants in the course of their preparation, and I'm sure that they already do it, in the course of their preparation of the application or in the particular reduced fees for providing back-end services. The whole thing is going to be dynamic in the future. What I'm mostly interested in is trying to set up something that kickstarts and basically seeds the process. And I agree that it may require some back and forth in terms of implementation, but if we do too much back and forth in terms of implementation, then we're likely to establish something that will not be operational for the first round, for the next round. So my question is it the goal, in my view, is to have a discussion in Singapore that basically hashes out the fundamental elements and chooses, for instance, between the option of focusing on a objective reduction of fees, which I understand is becoming very difficult to shape correctly, or setting up something that has a seed approach, and second, to see how the proactive movement can be made so that there is a ramping up of efforts in the communications campaign and also an appeal to a certain number of actors who have the possibility to help in kind, not only for the application itself, but also for helping run the operations in the future. So my focus and my message here is that in Singapore, if we could as much as possible focus on what could be implemented in an operational matter as early as possible so that something is in place by the end of this year, it would be probably better than trying to finalize a process on multiple parallel tracks. But that's just my feeling.
Bertrand, we have Anand and then Eric. Anand,
yeah, thank you. A couple of comments on some of the things that Bertrand just said. In terms of effectively what he was saying is it's a zero-sum game, and if you take money in one place, if you take money from one place or put money in one place, it comes from somewhere else. For the overall domain ecosystem, it is a zero-sum game. From a point of view of ICANN budgets, however, it is not. and in point of view of meeting the criteria of repaying, of paying for the cost of the process, it is not. Although it's a small item, the $25,000 repayment of sunk costs to the essentially into the reserve is an item which is not part of the ongoing cost and could be deferred, could be changed for some set of applicants. ICANN has already accepted that the whole thing will not be repaid in the first round. Extending it a little bit farther wouldn't alter anything. That's number one. Number two, there has always been the assumption that it's a high probability that there will be some large amount of extraordinary income from auctions or things like that. And the assumption has always been and stated that this will not simply be wrapped into the ICANN budget, but be used in some other way, presumably through a foundation or whatever, to isolate it from, you know, various taxation rules and other things like that. The support of new GTLDs for developing countries or disadvantaged applicants is one of the possible uses of that money. And again, money that goes into that pile is, if we spend it on disadvantaged applicants, cannot be spent on, you know, funding a university seat in ICANN matters. So it's a zero-sum game from that point, but it doesn't come out of other money within ICANN. So we have a lot of decisions that have to be made, the board and the community, and not everything is a zero-sum game from the perspective of these things. So we can help disadvantaged applicants without impacting other players in the same GTLD domain. Thank you.
I think we have any convicted of just what to remind people that we are ready. And may additions calls, so maybe we can get more 5 additional minutes. Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Prateek. Eric Bruno Williams for the transcript. This essentially follows the question I asked earlier to Bertrand about the tension between an envelope with limits and the development of objective criteria. If the qualification that we recommend implemented for applicants to demonstrate their need and their viability, as well as the diversity interests that they contribute, if that objective criteria, which has yet to be developed and yet to be implemented, if it can reduce the cost of ICANN's general evaluation, how can ICANN realize the savings of that essentially additional evaluation process? I think that is an area that where we actually can cause the zero-sumness of this to diminish, because if we can save costs in the evaluation process by qualifying applicants, that's money that actually is saved to ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. I think there is no any further comments.
Well, if I this is Bertrand for the record, just briefly, and I apologize because I will have to leave for another meeting, but I want to come back on what Eric was saying. I think we've identified two elements that are worth exploring further, and I'm listening carefully to the arguments. I'm not sure we are completely understanding each other, so it needs to be discussed a little bit further. What I just meant is that in many respects, and I may be wrong, and again, this is worth discussing, in many respects, when I look at it in terms of the movement of funds, whether it is a fee reduction, apart from the amount, whether it's a fee reduction, or if it is money that comes out and comes in, the end result is a global amount that is reduced by a couple of percents or a few percents. So although I'm very fond of non-zero-sum games in general, What I meant here is that it's basically, for ICANN, it is monetarily neutral, and the comments that were made regarding the desire to have a fund that could get the proceeds from auctions or things like that is clearly what some of us on the board have in mind, because the idea would be to take this opportunity to have a vehicle that could be fed later on with additional revenues, so that the pool of money does not come into the normal ICANN budget, but on the contrary can be dedicated to a certain number of positive uses. So the second element is regarding the process and the evaluation. I hear what Eric is saying. There's clearly a benefit in all additional screenings. I'm not sure it can be evaluated monetarily, but it can certainly be an element in terms of the security and the confidence in the potential of the applicants. What I think the discussion has highlighted is whether the criteria are as objective as possible, or whether it is the allocation of a pool of resources, there will need to be some sort of panel or structure or evaluation team that should ideally be distinct from ICANN, but could be in part drawn from the ICANN community, and I think it is in the JAZZ proposals. So these are the two elements that I think could help structure further discussion. One, in terms of operational efficiency and capacity to put in place something relatively rapidly, would the notion of a of an ad hoc structure getting seed funding be a way to kickstart the process and make sure that the resources are ramping up with the actual needs fast enough so that there is no competition between the different potential requesters? And the second thing is, in any case, there will be a need for some sort of evaluation panel. And if the JAZZ group could think about how could such an evaluation panel be formed in a way that would be sufficiently neutral and trustworthy, I think it would be an incredible addition to the discussion at this stage. And again, apologies, I will have to drop off.
Thanks, Patron.
Thank you, Patron.
Rafiq, can you speak a bit louder? I can't hear you. I'm sorry. It's Olivier.
Yeah, I can't hear you either, Rafiq.
Oh, good. Sorry.
And now, it's okay?
Better, thank you.
Okay. Is there any further comment? And for the item 3, I think we have an ongoing discussion about possible meeting with the CAG. I hope that we can fix that soon. And we have that public session on Thursday that I think the working group members will be happy that we have the board members and the CAG if they can attend on Thursday. Otherwise, I think, if you want to comment, otherwise, I think we can adjourn the call for today. Thank you, everybody, for, Olivier, yeah, please. Sorry, I was...
Thank you very much, Rafiq. It's Olivier. I know I just put my hand up just now. Just as a little... takeaway or perhaps a little bit of homework, I wonder if I could send over to Steve, Sebastian, and Bertrand in advance of the Singapore meeting. I know that the ELAC is having meetings with the board and there will be interaction in Singapore. I just wonder whether Steve, Sebastian, and Bertrand could go back to the board and perhaps answer some of the questions that have been raised today. I'm not sure whether they've taken note of them or whether perhaps we could ask the JAZZ group, to just compile the questions which were asked today and so that we can actually have answers, or at least the JAZZ group could have some answers by Singapore from the wider board rather than just personal views from the board members. Is that something we can work with?
Okay, it's Rafik speaking. For question, I think we need to compile them. I asked Carla to take notes. If it's possible, if she can compile those questions and send them as soon as possible to the working group so we can send them through maybe ALAC to the board members. What do you think?
This is Carla Rafik. I'll do that as soon as I get the transcript.
Thank you. So, does it make sense for you, Olivier?
Yes, Rafik, Olivier, again. Just wanted to get an idea from Sebastian and Steve, and I don't know if Bertrand is still there, whether this is something that's workable for them as well.
I think Bertrand is not on the call. I'm not sure for Sebastian.
Crocker's still here, although my battery is getting low. in multiple levels, I should say, both the real battery and symbolically. Anyway, apologies for my attention has been intermittent here, but what is the specific question about what's workable?
Olivia here. Several questions have been asked by the Jazz working group members today. If we can compile them and send that as an email to you and to your colleagues, would the board be able to compile answers or at least discuss those in their early meetings in Singapore so as for the board to have answers to the ALAC when the ALAC meets with the board and also answers to the Jazz group when the Jazz group meets?
Yep. So I can't commit the board. This is I'm empathetic with the question, but I can't make a formal commitment on behalf of the board. But I would recommend moving forward, and I certainly hear the question that you're asking, and both personally and to a limited extent on behalf of the board, we'll endeavor to do what we can. Let me make two other comments, and again, speaking just very personally and not in an official capacity. First of all, with respect to the meeting on Thursday, I checked my schedule while this discussion is going on here, and I'm conflicted, so I probably will not be able to come to the public discussion. As a separate matter, let me insert a comment at a sort of different level. I've been following loosely, but not in great depth, this whole discussion about trying to provide support in developing countries and disadvantaged applicants and so forth. I think the situation in general is kind of mixed. I think there is a fair amount of empathy with the general notion. I don't think there is anything close to a specific plan. And when I step back and think about it more broadly from sort of first principles, I come back to the following basic thought. A top-level domain is not in and of itself an end anything. It is just a tool that's part of something else. So I would say an approach that I would find, and again, let me emphasize, I'm really just speaking my own mind here, but an approach that I would find more productive in a way is to say, so what is the what are the needs in the developing countries, and how does having a top-level domain fit into meeting those needs? And that would be the basis for trying to organize a broader level of support, whether it's funding or whether it's expertise or whether it's assistance in working through procedures or whatever. But I would think that it would have to be part of some specific larger goal. And I don't have any preconception pro or con as to what those would be. It's just, to me, attainment of a top-level domain by itself is not a complete picture of anything. It's just a single step in some larger process. I'll go back on mute now.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, I think we can get the last comment from Sebastian.
Thank you. I don't know if it's the last one, but I think I will do my best to have that put into the board discussion, because I think it's an important piece that we need to have in front of us before and after the decision about the full program of the new GTLD. And I think, once again, it would have been very, very helpful to have some discussion prior to the decision itself. But we need at least to figure out how we make a signal to the community that we are concerned, and we will do something. When I say will, that ICANN will do something within the new GTLD development, and even if it's not fully into the program currently under discussion. I think you need also maybe not just to add a question, but to add 2 points. One is if you can have some idea about what time you need to do some to finish the work. I know that it's a tricky question, because what it's need to be done to finish the work, it's maybe the first question before you have the time you need. And the second, do you have some need, additional needs or help you need, support, all those type of things you can think about? It's important also to give a feedback to the board and to the GNSO and to ALAC on that issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. Okay. Okay, I don't think we have a comment. Thank you for everybody for joining our call today, and those especially like Cheryl in Australia. I think it's more than midnight now there.
Oh, and yes. Well, after midnight down under.
And thank you for everybody. I think we had a real good discussion today, and we will try to compile the questions, and so we will continue that in the Singapore meeting. Thank you, everybody. I adjourn the call for today. And see you in Singapore.